You have put a new song in my mouth. A song of praise. A sound that resonates, that all of heaven and earth may worship you. We tread the hills to meet with you, to see your majesty in all that surrounds us. For it speaks and displays the eternal God of ages, creator, author, victor. In love, you established an everlasting covenant with your people, and it's your love that captivates us. As children of the King, we rush in as waves unrestrained, overcome, overwhelmed, that the King crowned in glory and splendor would reach down to place a crown upon our heads. So we raise our banner, the banner we boldly stand under, the banner of Jesus Christ. From dusk to dawn, from age to age, your praise resounds in all the earth. Deliverer, Redeemer, ruler of an everlasting kingdom that cannot be shaken. We trust in the name of Christ Jesus, the only King, forever.
Welcome to Zion's Redemption Radio. This is Fundamentally Mormon. I'm your host, Mark Lichtenwalter. The guest call-in number is 917-889-8827. That's 917-889-8827. You can find this at blogtalkradio.com/fundamentallymormon. And the text will also be posted on my Facebook wall at facebook.com/LAZURUS1977. You can also find the text and the audio to this radio program on iTunes at Fundamentally Mormon and in the different Facebook groups that I am an admin of. Some of those groups are LDS Last Days Prophecy and Gospel Discussions, LDS Gospel Mysteries, Latter-day Unity, and others. You can find the pages that I admin also on my Facebook wall. And if you enjoy this program, please friend request me or follow me and make me one of your close friends. We try to put out as many episodes as we can during the week. But I'm thankful for you to be here today. Let's get right into the reading today. We are going to be reading out of Ogden Kraut's books. You can find his books for free to read online at ogdenkraut.com. That's ogdenkraut.com. That's ogdenkraut.com. And today is February 5th, 2021. We're going to be finishing up with Chapter 8 of the Holy Priesthood, Volume 1, and starting Holy Priesthood, Volume 2, reading the introduction and the contents, and what we'll be going over in the next volume of Holy Priesthood, Volume 2. So I'm doing the radio show live today, which most of you won't even know that because you listen to the podcast after the fact, and that's fine, but I have posted everything on my Facebook page at facebook.com/LAZURUS1977, and anybody who wants updates on the program, I always try to post there before the program starts, and I've got all the text to what I'm going to be reading today. I have to start early because I didn't want to take my daughter out of school to get her physical done so that she can play basketball. So I made her appointment for 4, but then I completely spaced it. I'm usually on the air from 3 to 5. So I'm starting 2 hours early today. Well, hour and a half early. Anyway, and that way I'll be able to be done by the time they get here on the bus, and then I'll be able to immediately take my daughter to have her physical done. So luckily tonight I get tonight off. This is my one night off during the week that's scheduled, and I'm going to relax with my family and just enjoy being with them, which is something that's hard for me to do, especially during the week, because this week I've been tired all week. And as soon as I get home, whether it's 4 in the morning or 5:30, I'm falling asleep. And usually I help my wife. They get up at 5:45, and my wife has to be gone by 6:45, and then my kids have to be gone by 7:15. And I'm just tired. I haven't been sleeping well. I sleep in the daytime, and I leave for work right after I do the radio show. So I usually get to work between 5:30, and then go drive all night. And I've just been having a hard time this week because of the schedule. And I'm glad. I like to drive at night because I like the calmness that comes when there's not a lot of people. And I've always enjoyed the nighttime. Even when I was younger, I enjoyed just being up at night when everybody else is asleep, because it's just the time when I'm able to have quiet time and think about things. So driving at night is actually something that I really enjoy. Hold on. My son is home today because I watch him during the days on Mondays and Fridays. So hopefully I have Elmo on the TV so he can watch it. And hopefully that keeps him occupied. And if I have to, like, jump up, I'll just, like, mute it and go take care of him. But we're in our living room, and we've got baby gates on the entrances, the entrance and the exit, whatever, into the rest of the house. So he should be fine. He's got his toys. He's got his Elmo. I've got a drink for him, which he's drinking right now. Was that good? Is that good? It's not good, but you're drinking it. He's shaking his head no, but he's like sucking it down. So anyway, I'll dedicate the program, and let's see if we can get through this in a timely manner. And one thing I want to say, okay, so I'm reading these books. It doesn't mean that they are my views and opinions. In fact, I'll tell you what my views and opinions are as I'm reading them. But I'm going to read them anyway, because these are fundamentalist beliefs, and I consider myself kind of a neo-fundamentalist, messianic. I actually don't know what category people can put me in. But I am like of the opinion that Joseph Smith had. All truth is Mormonism, because Mormons seek after all truth. And it's okay to, like, read things and look at things and consider other people's opinions and views. But it's up to each of us to go to our Father in heaven to find out what the truth of the matter is, if we are interested in it. But even because something's true or not true, if we're not interested in it, like, I don't know what, like, we have free agency, so it shouldn't matter, you know, what other people's opinions are. Our opinions are our opinions, and we work through them, and if they're right, great, and if they're wrong, well, we should be humble enough as children of God to go to our Father like all children do. They go to their parents, they believe all things, they ask, is this true, is that true, and they ask questions about everything. And part of being believing as a little child is not only just asking and believing, but going to our parent to find out what the truth is of a matter. So, Arius, you cannot play with my keyboard. I know it's fun, but you can't play with it.
Yeah.
What? Go watch Elmo. He wants my attention. Because, like I said, well, my wife, she usually gets home about the time I'm leaving. Sometimes she doesn't even get home until after I'm gone. She'll meet me where I park my semi-truck, and, like, I'll see her for just a little bit. And when that happens, Arius, my son, is usually in his car seat, and he's yelling at me because he wants me to come pick him up and play with him. So I hate the fact that I don't have a normal schedule in that respect because I want to be with my family more, but I do get to see them almost every day, and it's better than being over the road, and I was over the road for years and years and years. In fact, all of my children, every single one of them, other than my son, has had to deal with me being gone because I was an over-the-road truck driver and I wasn't around a whole lot. And being able to spend time with my son and my kids and my wife is really important to me. But at the same time, there's lots of stuff to do around the farm and it takes money. And so I can't just sit around and not do anything. I have to work so that I can finance the other things that we're doing. And like I said in the past, you know, this radio program, it costs me not only time, but it also costs me a lot of money to put forth these things. I don't use some of these apps where I can do it for free. I do this program at Blog Talk Radio because I want to be open to be able to receive phone calls so I can hear what your opinion and your thoughts are in different matters. So I do this for that reason. And also so that it can be archived in the iTunes and Podcast Addict, Podcast Republic, but also at blogtalkradio.com. Now, one thing I don't like about Blog Talk and iTunes is iTunes will only archive 200 episodes. And as soon as I make another episode, it kicks one off. Blog Talk Radio will archive the program for, I don't know, 3 or 4 years. But over time, it also kicks them off. So I have literally hundreds, maybe even over 1,000 programs that I've done in the last 7 years. And they just disappear into the ether because that's the way it is. And I don't have a website. Partly because I don't have time at all to update and maintain a website, but also it's expensive, especially if you want something that I would like. I would love to have a website. I just can't afford it, and I don't have time to do it, and I don't have a whole lot of help from anybody. I can't expect my wife to do it because she has to do all the stuff that she has to do, which takes all of her time. You know, I'm not going to expect my kids to do it. It's my job. And if I had more time, I would have more ability to do those things. But because I don't have time, because my schedule is so tight, I'm not able to maintain a website. Now, I used to have a website called Latter-day Visions, which was a site that I had for a couple of years back in like 2008 to 2010. And I lost that site because I wasn't able to afford paying for it. And then I had the kingdomofgodornothing.com, which was another really good site that I had. But I had to take that down because I received international media attention and had a lot of hate pointed at me for somebody that I was an acquaintance and even a friend with who did some things. He's now in prison. And he deserves to be there. If the allegations for what he has claimed to have done is true, then, you know, he deserves what he gets. And I don't have any contact with him, either one of the individuals that did the things that caused the media attention to focus on me and my website. And I had death threats, lots of international death threats because of what they did, but also partly because of what Nate Carlisle did at the Salt Lake Tribune. They wrote an article in the Salt Lake Tribune that had inaccurate things in it that basically tried to say that I believed in child brides. And the quote that they took out of context was, God wants all of his children to participate in marriage. And because I said God, and it wasn't even me that said it. This is a statement from this other guy. Because he said, and it was on my website, God wants all of his children to participate in marriage. That obviously meant that I believed in child brides, which is false. Anyway, when I found that on their news article at the Salt Lake Tribune, I got really angry, and I contacted the editor, and I contacted Nate Carlisle, and I was like, you've got to retract this. This is not what we believe. It doesn't even imply that. A child of God is anybody from the ages of, you know, 0 to 100, and everybody who's ever lived and died, they're a child of God. So you're twisting this out of context to try to sensationalize something that I don't believe in. And since I was the owner of the website, I'm responsible for the content, even though I allowed this other individual to post things without me looking at it, which in retrospect, maybe that wasn't a wise thing to do, seeing as how I knew that he was falling as he was. He started coming out with all these really strange revelations and stuff. And Joseph Smith said that if a seer falls, that they will retain their gift of seership, but it will be from a false spirit. And I kept telling him, you need to check these revelations that you're getting to make sure that they are from God. Because I knew that many of them were, but as the time progressed and he started following after this other guy who was leading him astray, I kept telling him, this guy is a Judas goat. Stop trusting him and get confirmation of the Spirit about the revelations that you're receiving and the translations that you're receiving before you post them and put them out in the world. And this guy just refused. So I watched a prophet fall right in front of my face, and I warned him, and he wouldn't listen, and he fell. And because of what he did, it brought on this international attention upon myself and my website, which caused great hatred and death threats to come to me because these other guys are in prison, so I'm the one that's out, right? I was investigated by the FBI as well because they were part of my group. We had a school of the prophets where we would come together and we would talk about things and we would learn together. But they investigated me, but they didn't even charge me with anything because I wasn't part of what they were doing. They were estranged from me for over a year before this even happened. But Nate Carlisle posts this crap on the Salt Lake Tribune, which they wouldn't retract, which they never did retract. And I talked to a lawyer about defamation, and he said that it's really hard to prove. But I don't know how it would be hard to prove. Well, because they could say that they thought that's what you meant, because all of God's children should participate in marriage, and that means that we believe in child brides. The stretch of the fake media just amazes me. But I'm glad I went through the experience because it opened my eyes to some things. Now, they did originally change some of the wording on the website at the Salt Lake Tribune article. But by that time, fighting for a week or two, I can't remember, it's been a number of years. I think it was in 2016 when that happened. Anyway, but by the time, I got them to change it on the website, not to retract it, just to change it, Boston Herald, New York Times, Miami Herald, it was the Boston Globe. I had newspapers all throughout the United States and Europe and worldwide with my name and my website in it, which picked up the original story from the Salt Lake Tribune, and now I've got to, like, hide for my life because I've got these haters that come and say all the horrible things that they want to do to me, which wasn't limited to just death threats. It was ridiculous. You know, a lot of I actually had people coming at me where I live because of what Nate Carlisle did at the Salt Lake Tribune. So just and so I don't know why I'm getting into all of this. It still upsets me after all these years, and I think they should be held for account for what they did, and they will be in the heavens in the world to come, and I'll just have to let it go. But this is what the world does. They twist things, sensationalize things to, and it was for money, you know, so they could sell their paper. But they just blatant out and out lied, and I lost my website because of that. And there's nothing I could do about it. And I was going to lose it anyway, I think. Well, it was like $500 or $600 a year for me to maintain this website. And with all of the hate that was coming and the fact that I didn't have the time to try to transfer things over to a new website, plus all of the just everything that happened, I lost a lot of stuff. So just because I'm associated with somebody doesn't mean I believe or whatever, everything that they believe. And just because I read these books doesn't mean that I believe or support everything that they teach. Ogden Kraut was a hardcore Brighamite fundamentalist. There's a lot of truth in the things that he believed. But then there's things that are hard to know. And then there's things that I don't believe that he got wrong. And you know what? I'm not going to agree with anybody 100%. But I still value Ogden's opinions and his thoughts. And he did a ton of work to compile the information that he has. Now, he has since passed, but I really enjoy his insight and the fact that he was able to compile so much from the church, you know, from the foundation of the Restoration all the way to the current LDS church. Well, not current, but more modern LDS church. I value his opinion, and I think people should be able to think about these things so that they can sparse out whether something's true or false and not allow the church to just gaslight and change doctrines the way that they do, which they do. Anybody who studies this stuff seriously knows what they do. But most people are so distracted in Babylon, they don't have time to go over these things, so they would never know. And this is how the devil creates apostasy within God's organization. So anyway, let's I'll dedicate the program and we'll get into the reading. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We thank thee, Father, for this day, for the Sabbath that is upon us, that we may have a day of rest, that we may be revitalized so that we may go throughout the work of living and the work of the ministry in this next upcoming week. We love thee, Father, and we're just grateful for the atonement of thy Son, Jesus Christ, and for the plan of salvation and for the plan of progression. We love thee, and we ask for thy blessings to be upon us and dedicate this time unto thee. In the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, even Jesus the Christ. Amen. Conclusion, Chapter 8 of Holy Priesthood, Volume 1. The Holy Priesthood is a special privilege and power given to only a few. It is circumscribed with specific bounds and conditions upon which it can be exercised. Like the Ark of the Covenant, it can be utilized by only those who have been called and chosen to do so. For this reason, it is a two-edged sword to defend or to destroy. Its obligations are awesome and its blessings are unbelievable. Clearly, the priesthood is not a status symbol nor a permanent gift for those who receive it. true priesthood should continue to lead the bearer to grow in power and intelligence because its progress is connected to the work of the Lord. That eternal progressive labor will continue to expand as the work of the Lord extends through the universe, adding power, might, and glory to its possessor forever. By the power of the priesthood, worlds were and are being created. And that work is eternal in nature. Because this is my own saying, this is what I believe, but the work and glory of God is to bring to pass the immortality and eternal life of man and to organize the unorganized universe, to create a way for a place for us to exist and to organize the universe. So the first part is not me, that I believe that, but the second part, this is what I believe. God wants to bring his children into his presence and give us his life so that we can help him to organize the universe for his spirit children to continue to grow and progress and to learn until we become close to like what he is. We'll never have his glory. But we can grow through the eternities and grow and become like he is. To know things, to learn things, to become more intelligent through time and experience. Blessed is the man who is righteous enough to bear the priesthood with honor, for it will lead him to eternal life, which means God's life, which means you become like he is, because we're his children, he is our Father, the most precious gift of God to man. Eternal life is. And my patriarchal blessing, it says, God is telling me in my patriarchal blessing, I give unto you the greatest gift that God has to bestow, the gift of eternal life. Now, recently on a Zoom call, somebody was talking about how their grandma had something similar in her patriarchal blessing and how offended he was that the patriarch would even say that because he doesn't have the power to. The patriarch is a voice for God. Now, I have given blessings, patriarchal blessings, and other blessings, where the people in the room were so spiritually tuned that as I was receiving what to say to the individual, they were also receiving it, not being in the prayer circle, but being part of the group in the room. They were also receiving what God was telling me because it was that powerful. A patriarch receives the revelation as he's speaking. Now, not always, but if it's being done correctly, the patriarch is a conduit by which the message of God can come through him to the individual. So yeah, that guy was right. The patriarch didn't have the right. But he was wrong because if that patriarch was connected spiritually to God and it was God that was speaking to his grandma when she was younger, then what right does he have to judge the matter the way he does, you know? And another thing I wanted, and I just kept my mouth quiet during this whole thing. The only thing that I said was that when you criticize and attack people, and I do this too, but when you criticize and attack people, that shuts them off. So they'll never hear what you have to say because you shut them off with your negativity. Now, somebody who is smart will look past the negativity to the message, but most people won't do that. Now, the other thing I wanted to say to him, and I'm not going to talk to him because I don't think he's ready to hear, and I didn't want to use another person's platform to promote myself in any way. But I know that there were many who qualified for celestial blessings who only came to this earth to get a body because they needed one and they died before the age of accountability and that happened. But there are those of us, myself included, who qualified for the higher blessings but remain on the earth because God has a mission for us to fulfill. The grandmother of this individual who was talking about this on the Zoom call, the last Zoom call that we had, she was probably one of these elect who had a mission to fulfill, who could have died before the age of accountability because she is not here to be tested. She's already passed the test. She's here for experience, and she's here because God needed her to be here for his wise purpose. And if he chooses to use a patriarch to tell her that she has been given eternal life, that is between her and God. The patriarch is just the conduit. And the only reason I can even talk about this is because in my patriarchal blessing, it says, and I give you the greatest gift that God has to bestow, the gift of eternal life. Which at the time in 97, I didn't even know what that meant. But because I was like so interested in what does this mean, I was able to ponder over it, pray about it, try to study what it meant to have your calling and election made sure and what it meant to have eternal life and all these things. And after a period of many years, God revealed to me what it meant, and it was the greatest spiritual experience of my life, where I saw the Father and the Son face to face in the flesh. And he sealed me up unto himself, which is to be sealed up to eternal life. And it talked about that in my patriarchal blessing in 1997, but it happened personally in 2003. So I'm grateful for the patriarch that was able to be a conduit to give a message to me from God when I was not in a place where I could have received it myself. Not at that time. Maybe through dreams, but that was how things worked back then. The only thing that happened to me before that point was in 95, I was caught up in the spirit and out-of-body experience, and God, our Jesus, took me to the Salt Lake Temple, and it was a out-of-body experience. It was not in the flesh, and it was not a dream. And he took me into the temple in Salt Lake and showed me around that temple as we made our way up to where the destination was. I went up. Jesus took me up to the middle tower on the east side of the temple, the highest room in the temple. Now, in the middle tower of the east side, there are two windows, one on the north and one on the south. That is to let light into that room that does not exist as far as the church publicly talks. Right? They don't share with that room. But when I went into that room, when Jesus Christ took me into that room, he introduced me to the Father in that place. And the Father gave me a very, very powerful witness and message about me. And about his love for me, and about who I am, which even at that point, like, it wasn't detailed, but it was that I am the last anointed prophet that is sent to the earth before the second coming, the final prophet. Which is interesting because in the Dead Sea Scrolls, it also talks about me. The prophet of Qumran saw in vision my life and wrote in detail about it, and they found those scrolls in the Dead Sea Scrolls in Cave 4. And I've talked about that in the past as well. But I didn't know that. I did not know that until 2013. No, maybe, I think it was 2013. So this guy that used to listen to my old radio show, like, he wanted me to baptize him. He lived in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, and I said, well, if you come out here, I'll baptize you if that's what God wants me to do. And when he got out here, I said, why did you feel the need that I should, you know, that you should fly out here for me to baptize you? And he said, because you fit the description of the final prophet and the Dead Sea Scrolls. And so because of that, I was like, well, what's that all about? So I looked it up, and I found all this stuff, and I was like, oh, my gosh, this is crazy. You know, because it goes into detail about what I look like, what my body looks like, marks on my body, which I have that they talk about, and the fact that I have red hair. And a whole bunch of stuff about my family, and a whole bunch of stuff about my life, and it was nuts. But that was only a second witness to what God told me in 1995. So anyway, let's get into the next book. Holy Priesthood, Volume 2 by Ogden Kraut, Part 1, Blessings and Cursings, and Part 2, The Official Declaration of 1978, which I don't want to talk about. But we're going to get through it because I'm committed to reading this stuff, and I'll give my thoughts and opinions, and I don't even know what to think about this. I mean, I do to a point, but did Brigham Young lead the whole church astray in false doctrines? Or did Spencer W. Kimball lead the church astray by changing those true doctrines and saying that they were false? And what is this whole thing with Zechariah 14 where it says in the millennium, the Canaanites will no longer be allowed in the temple? Now, in the millennium, the Illuminati and One World Order will not be there. So they wouldn't be in the millennium to begin with. But there are Canaanites who will qualify to be in the millennium, but they will not qualify to be in the temple, because of their lineage. And they were placed in that lineage because of what they did in the preexistence or what they failed to do. And God, there's consequences for people's actions. Consequences for actions in prior worlds that place us in the circumstances of this world. Hold on. Arius. You leave that kitten alone. Why are you running it over? Do you need a drink? Yes? So we had this. My wife and my daughter went and rescued these kittens from Kevin Kraut's wife. Like a cat had kittens in their trailer, and then they were locked in the trailer, and like the mother died. So these kittens were like orphaned. So my wife takes my daughter over. They go get the kittens, bring them home. And a couple of days later, now we live in Emory County and they live in Utah County. They live a long ways away from where we live. Arius, leave it alone. They live a long ways away from where we live. Now, Maybe about 100 miles. Now, a couple of days later, after we brought these kittens home, three other kittens showed up on my door as my wife and I were getting home around 1:30 in the morning. And, like, they're the twins of these other kittens. So we had one die, but we have five left. And, like, we have two orange cats that are not siblings, two gray cats that are not siblings. One was short hair. One is short hair. One was long hair. That one got hit by a car, unfortunately, and died. And two white cats that look like Persians, and they're not siblings. It's just weird, you know. So we've got these kittens, and my son loves the kittens, and the puppies, and the goats, and the baby goats, and chickens. Well, I don't think he likes the roosters because the roosters are – they'll chase you around. The only reason the roosters don't chase me around is because every time I see them, I'm like, chicken, chicken, chicken. And then I'm like, come here, give me a hug. And I chase them around and try to pick them up. And I get them. And then I pet them for a little while, and then I let them go. So they, like, when they see me, they're all like, oh, no, here he comes. I try to tell my daughter, Arius, come here. Arius. I'll be right back. Okay, I'm back. I had to go take care of my son for a minute because he, being a one-year-old, found something that he could get into that needed to be stopped. So now he's sitting here drinking, and we're good. So anyway, I'll just get into this preface. Volume 1 of the Holy Priesthood series contained definitions and history. Gifts and powers of the priesthood, providing an important background for the subsequent 5 volumes. Volume 2 discusses some of the blessings and cursings which can result from the use or misuse of this priesthood power. No, Arius, you can't drink that. You can drink this. I have an energy drink here. Yeah, he's trying to drink it, but I have a drink for him, and he always wants to drink my drink because he wants to be like me. You know, like little kids, they like to put on daddy's and mommy's shoes because they want to be like us, because they love us. Anyway, this volume is divided into 2 parts, Blessings and Cursings and the Official Declaration of 1978. The first part lists and elaborates upon the 10 blessings of the Holy Priesthood. It presents guidelines to help us determine how well we are qualifying for these priesthood blessings, both individually and as a church. It also discusses punishments and cursings that can result through abuse and misuse of priesthood power. The second half is a review of the official declaration issued in 1978, wherein it is provided that all worthy male members of the church may be ordained to the priesthood without regard for race or color. Priesthood. 1. L. Townsend. What is the priesthood? 'Tis an order, both for earth and heaven above, organized of men and angels as a ministry of love, a society most holy, living through eternity, from eternal ages coming and eternal yet to be. Ever has this holy order through all ages labored on to secure mankind's salvation in the gospel of the Son. Saints on earth, in their probation, spirits gone beyond the grave, resurrected souls in heaven, all attest its power to save. For a time, this holy priesthood, God withdrew from mortal eyes, leaving it with those appointed ministers in paradise. Unto earth, God sent these angels, priesthood gave to chosen men. Now the order is united here on earth with heaven again. Not alone with the soul's salvation does this order offer now knowledge of God, our God, it brings us, writes his name upon each brow, fills the mind with aspirations, swells the heart with great desires, while to heaven's highest glory in this priesthood man aspires. Through this priesthood, powers of heaven, delegated here to man, worked in miracles of knowledge since this aged world began. By it, Enoch built his Zion, Noah was guided over the wave, and the pyramids were fashioned, ancient sciences to save. Ask the martyr, what is priesthood? Hear him tell it with dying breath. 'Tis the power of God's salvation, giving victory over death. By it, he has made his calling and election doubly sure. And before he will deny it, even death he will endure. Contributor, Volume 9, page 393. I have to copy and paste that. Let's see here. Let me just get it real quick. I'm going to post this on my Facebook wall because that's not the greatest poem there ever was, but I really enjoyed it, so I'm going to post it. Let me just grab that real quick. And I posted that at facebook.com/LAZURUS1977. That's my Facebook page for anyone who wants to go read that. Of course, all the text is already there. All right, contents. Part one, preface and introduction. Fullness of the gospel, gifts of the Spirit. These are different chapter titles. Sanctified by the Spirit, administering salvation, sons of God, patriarchal order of marriage, governing all things, gaining eternal life, calling and election, seeing the face of God in conclusion. Part two, introduction, a chosen people. Chapter two, race problems as they affect. Chapter three, the church. Race problems as they affect is actually that whole thing, I think, is Marky Peterson. So this is just a compilation that Ogden did. Alvin R. Dyer is chapter four, for what purpose? And then Jacob is the Lord of his inheritance. Chapter five, the gradual evolution leading up to 1978. Chapter six, the 1978 announcement. Chapter nine, declaration or revelation. Chapter seven. Chapter eight, reaction and repercussions. Chapter 9, thus saith the Lord. Chapter 10, today's revelations. Thrashing out decisions. Chapter 11, bid farewell to the holy priesthood. Chapter 12, conclusion, a new arrangement. Part 1, blessings and cursings. Eternal existence depends solely upon adopting and carrying out in our lives the principles couched in the term holy priesthood, which alone tend to life and eternal duration and exaltation. Brigham Young Journal of Discourses, Volume 7, page 202. Introduction. It is impossible to enumerate all the blessings that come from the holy priesthood. Hey, excuse me. Why are you trying to run over the cat with your horsey? Why don't you pet the cat? Can you pet the cat? You want to pet the cat and be nice to the cat? Thank you, Arius. Be nice to the cat, okay? These cats are ridiculous. They will let you get as rough as you want with them, and they'll just lay there and purr and be happy that you're paying attention to them, even if you're like, get away from me, cat. And which is good, because my one-year-old son is now hugging the cat, and the cat is just like taking it. Is that the kitty? Be nice to the kitty. Oh, I love being a dad. It is impossible to enumerate all the blessings that come from the holy priesthood. They are beyond mortal comprehension. Priesthood is like a delicate instrument, but can also be a double-edged sword. It contains power to heal a child and create galaxies. It is vitally important that the saints, both male and female, study and learn about this tremendous priesthood power and how it can be used in our lives. Many speakers and writers discuss the blessings that come from the priesthood, but very few mention the negative effects that can result from the misuse of such power. For every positive, there is a negative, and for every blessing, there can be a cursing. There is no greater virtue or vice than that which follows in the wake of the priesthood. It can make gods or it can make devils. In 1981, Elder Bhusar McConkie listed and briefly discussed 10 blessings of the holy priesthood. This is a significant list and has been used as the basis for the first 10 chapters of this book. However, along with each blessing, we will also consider the negative results that can come from a misunderstanding or a misuse of these priesthood powers. Quoting Elder McConkie, quote, "There are 10 priesthood blessings that are available to all of us who hold the Holy Melchizedek Priesthood. Number one, we are members of the only true and living church upon the face of the whole earth, and we have received the fullness of the everlasting gospel." I gotta say something about that. You may have had it restored to you through the prophet Joseph Smith, but you don't believe it and you don't follow it. At the lecture of the Grove, we learn about multiple mortal probations. At the King Follett Discourse, we learn that God was as we are now and that we may become like he is. There's a whole bunch of deep stuff that Joseph Smith taught that the church just doesn't even talk about, and it even disavows some of it as false doctrines. So was Joseph Smith a false prophet? Was he leading the whole church astray by talking about these deeper mysteries that the church wants to reject today? Or is it that the church over time have apostatized from the truth, and they've cut off all of the stuff that they didn't want on their little popular bedstand, anything that hanged over the line about where they wanted the church to be, so they just get rid of it, which Isaiah saw in Isaiah chapter 28. He saw it, and he talked about it among the drunkards of Ephraim, how they get rid of things if it doesn't fit. And if they want to be popular with the world, they can't have all the opinions and views of the restoration because Gentiles scoff at truth. So you may have the only true and living church, which I would say you don't, because a living church has living revelation and miracles, and now you've got Elder Bednard and Uchtdorf running around talking about miracles that are simply coincidences, as some great miracles like the parting of the Red Sea, and it's just, it's crap. It's gaslighting. It's making mundane things into sacred things and castigating the sacred as mundane. And they're doing it because they are dead. The church is dead. It was rejected according to Doctrine and Covenants section 124 given in 1841. If they would not be obedient, they would be rejected with their church and their dead. The church would be rejected with their dead, is what it says. Now, it was talking about building a temple whereby the Father could come dwell there and that he might restore the fullness of the priesthood to the earth and to the church. But even taking it out of context and just as a principle, if people do not do what God says, he will reject them and their church with their dead. And when you have a church with one Ensign account last year, or it was the year before that, that some leaker within the church office building leaked a ton of information about one account called the Ensign Peak account, with $129 billion in it that the church is actually getting in trouble for because they, well, I'm not going to get into all that. $129 billion in one account. And they have they don't have any United Orders at all, which is part of the redemption of Zion. When a people live all that I have commanded, then they shall look up, or they build Zion below, and they shall look, and Zion will come down out of heaven. When a people do all that I have commanded, United orders is part of the law of consecration, and we all covenant in the temples to live the law of consecration, but we have no united orders. And before they changed the endowment a couple of years ago, a true principle was taught where God allowed this actor to come out and say that he was Satan, and that all they who do not live up to every covenant they've made this day will be in his power, which is a true principle. You make covenants and you don't live up to them, there is a cursing that happens and you lose your salvation. And you go under the power of Satan, which is also talked about in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, that all they who believe the lie receive strong delusion that they might be damned because they did not love the truth. And they didn't love the truth enough to go to God to find out if what they believed was true. So they believe false doctrines. There has to be a people who will be obedient to God. Because if we are not obedient, he will reject us. No matter how much we pat ourselves on the back with all of our knowledge and all of our false doctrines about how we have the only true and living church with all the fullness of the gospel, but we just cut off a little here, cut off a little there, and over 200 years, we become popular with the world, which in the scriptures also it says that they who are who want to be popular with the world are enemies or in opposition to God. But we love to be popular with the world. And so we don't receive persecution anymore because we're not a threat to the devil's kingdom. Because we've inherited so much of their values and their ways that when Isaiah saw a vision of us, he called us the drunkards of Ephraim because we are all drunk on the spirit of Babylon the Great. And we are not doing what God has asked us to do as a people. And we change the ordinances and we change the gospel and we change the endowments and we change the doctrines, according to the whims of the people at the time, but we are not obedient to God. Number two, we have received the gift of the Holy Ghost, and we are entitled to receive gifts of the Spirit, those wondrous spiritual endowments which set us apart from the world and raise us above carnal things. I could go on and on and on about all this stuff, but I actually have to get through this reading, and I'm going to have to get my son completely dressed and get his socks and shoes on and put his car seat in my vehicle and go take my daughter to the doctor's appointment. So I'm just going to try to not talk as much and just to read. But here we go. Number three, we can, and you know, I'm going to go through all of this stuff in the upcoming episodes. So we'll have plenty of time to go through it all. Number three, we can be sanctified by the Spirit, have dross and evil burned out of us as though by fire, and become clean and spotless and be fit to dwell with gods and angels. Number four, we can stand in the place instead of the Lord Jesus Christ in administering salvation to the children of men. Number five, we have power to become the sons of God, to be adopted into the family of the Lord Jesus Christ, to have him as our Father. I love this. And to be one with him as he is one with his Father. See, when Jesus Christ paid for our sins in the Garden of Gethsemane, he bought us with a price. And because he saves us from our sins through the atonement, he becomes our Father through the law of adoption. But we have a Father above him. This is the progression of the gods. Before he went through everything he went through with the atonement and the Garden of Gethsemane and the resurrection, he said, "Be ye therefore perfect, even as my Father is perfect." But after, in the Book of Mormon, when he appeared in his resurrected glory to the people in the land, he said, "Be therefore perfect, even as I and my Father are perfect." Now, how do you get to be perfect? You follow the plan of salvation and the path that God leads you to, and eventually you become a witness of the Father and the Son, and eventually, if you're a man, and or the spouse of a person who has that high and holy calling, like my wife is today with me. And then when you fulfill that probation, you become a redeemer in a world, like Jesus did. And when you pay for the sins of that world through the atonement that you offer yourself up for, you will pay for the children of that world and become the father of that world, even though you have a father. Jesus Christ is your father, but he's also your brother. He's your father through the law of adoption because he paid for you with the price of his own blood. And we have a father above him who was once a Christ himself. And a father above him who was also a Christ. It's the progression of the gods. And if the church wouldn't hide the lecture at the Grove, more people would understand these things. But if you try to say anything about it, they'll call you an apostate and a heretic and excommunicate you from the church, even though it was taught as doctrine by the prophet Joseph Smith shortly before he was murdered. There are things that he knew that were deeper than the things that he talked about. Arius, are you doing? Why are you climbing up there? Okay, just sit down. You going to watch Elmo? Yep, okay. All right. I can't help myself. I just have to talk. There's so much I want to say. Like, even when I talk and talk and talk and talk, I'm still not saying everything that I want to say. And, like, I was talking about Nate Carlisle earlier in this program. Like, they talk about how I rant and rave, the ravings of a madman. Like, that's what they say about me. And you know what? I am mad. Maybe I am crazy. I don't know, but is the things I'm saying true? Like, that's another thing, too. Okay, so you don't believe I am the witness who I proclaim to be. And the only reason I ever said that I was is because God showed me why I was chosen to be his witness and how I was called. I've talked about that in the past as well. But if I am a lunatic, that I have been deceived by the devil, who, by the way, cannot come in the flesh and put his physical hands upon my head, no matter what false doctrines you believe, that doesn't happen because he isn't a resurrected being. But even if I am completely deluded, are the things that I'm bringing up true? Are they worthy of your time to think about and ponder over? Now, if you are connected to God through the Spirit and have discernment, and you're believing as a little child and you believe the things that I say, if I were leading you astray but you believed it, you can go to the Father and ask him if things that you believe are true. And if the Spirit withdraws from me, you throw that out. So you shouldn't have to worry about false prophets and true prophets. You just worry about the truth and let the truth speak for itself. No matter who the guy is and what things he proclaims, if he has truth, you accept the truth. Now, people can still have opinions, and then they get prideful and they spout it off as truth when it's just opinions. But you don't need to worry about that either. Unless you start following after the flesh and the person that tells you the thing and you just believe it because you believe that they're a prophet. and that everything that they say is true, you know, you trade in one false prophet for another. But anyway, Arius, do you want to get the cereal and give it to me so I can give you some? It's right there. It's by the beanbag. This kid is so smart. I told him I was going to the bathroom earlier, and I turned on the heater in the bathroom because it gets kind of cold in there, and I was going to take a shower, and he and I were going to take a shower so we could get cleaned up. And I was kind of joking, but I wanted to see if he would do it. I told him to go turn on the heater, and he walked over to the space heater and tried to turn it on for me. He knew which switch to put to turn, and he was trying to do it. Like, I never showed him that. Kid is smart as a box of rocks of cedar stones. Just kidding. Hi. Up. Arius. Go get the cereal, and I'll open it for you, and you can have some. Anyway, while he's making his way over to that, I will continue reading here. 7, we have power to govern all things, both temporal and spiritual, but we don't have power to tell people what to do. That's not governing in the eyes of God. That's tyranny. That's Satan's plan. Arius, come here. Hey, look, it's right there. It's right there. The cereal. No, by the beanbag. Right there. Get the cereal. There it is. You looked right at it. It's in a container. I don't think he knows. It's right there on the ground. Right there. Right in front of you. It's on the ground. Pick it up. You can't pick up the whole beanbag. Pick up the container. Right there. He's like walking all around it. It's kind of funny. Maybe he's not as smart as a box of rocks or cedar stones. Hey. And I'm sitting in my recliner, so I'm not going to get up, obviously. You just stepped on it. It's right there. Yep, right there. Pick it up. Yep, pick it up. Good job. Come here, bring it to me. Do you want some? Oh, yeah, they're so good. They're honeycomb. Here you go. Okay, go watch Elmo. I'll give you some more in a minute. Oh, let's see. We have power to govern all things, both temporal and spiritual, the kingdoms of the world and the elements and storms and powers of the earth. 8. Well, we would if we had the fullness of the priesthood, which I have, but others, like, it wasn't restored to the church in its fullness. So, when you have the fullness of the priesthood, you will be able to do the things of commanding the elements and raising the dead and all that kind of stuff. So, but until then, you have the priesthood that you're given to see if you're worthy of obtaining the higher blessings of the fullness of the priesthood. 8, we have power through the priesthood to gain eternal life, the greatest of all the gifts of God. 9, we have power to make our calling and election sure, so that while we yet dwell in mortality, having overcome the world and been true and faithful in all things, we shall be sealed up unto eternal life and have the unconditional promise of eternal life in the presence of Him whose we are. Now, I got to say something about that too. Okay, if I was such a false, fallen, horrible, evil, false prophet, or fallen prophet, would God have given me the promise of eternal life and my patriarchal blessing, knowing the end from the beginning? Like, I know a lot of people out there want to throw me under the bus as a crazy man and a thing of naught, which they've done to all of the prophets in the day and age when they come, because we're never accepted in our own time, only after the fact. But God would never have given me that patriarchal blessing if He knew that I was going to become this horrible, evil, false apostate, apostle, heretic, and all the other names that you want to throw at me. Number 10, we have the power, and it is our privilege to live, to live that becoming pure in heart, we shall see the face of God while we yet dwell as mortals in the world of sin and sorrow. These, then, are the 10 blessings of the priesthood, the holy priesthood, after the order of the Son of God, the priesthood that the saints in ancient days called Melchizedek. End quote. Priesthood, Blessings of the Priesthood by Bruce R. McConkie. See pages 30 through 35. Chapter 1, the fullness of the gospel. So when I come back on Monday, unless something happens like happened last Monday and the Tuesday before that, we'll be back on, and I will, from 3 to 5, be reading Chapter 1 of Volume 2 of Holy Priesthood, and the fullness of the gospel is what we're going to be going over. So, all right, so real quick. Oh, thank you, Tilla, for subscribing to my channel. By the way, Tilla, my friend Tilla, just subscribed to my YouTube channel. You can find that channel at youtube.com/user/ God is my compass. And the channel name is Fundamentally Mormon. And it doesn't look like we have anybody. No questions and comments in the chat. And no phone calls in the studio. But that's fine. So we've been on for an hour and 14 minutes, I think. So I think we're going to leave it at that. I hope that every single one of you have a blessed Shabbat or day of rest. And I hope that you enjoy the Lord's Day and go to church and enjoy all the stuff. And by the way, like, go to church. Find a group of people that you can have some fellowship with, even if you don't just go along with everything that they say. Just go out and be a light to God's people somewhere. Like, I go to a Pentecostal church and to a Seventh-day Adventist church, and I love them. I don't agree with everything that they say, believe, or teach, but I still love them. I know that they love God. And you know what? I was on my way from San Antonio down to Brownsville, Texas one time. I was listening to a Catholic channel on the AM radio, the FM radio stations. And I was also listening to a Protestant radio station. And God let me know as I was talking to him, as I was driving, that God wants to reveal so much more to each of his children, but we damn ourselves through our unbelief. So he can't, because we limit him. We put him in a box, which when we put him in a box, we're actually just putting ourselves in a box, because he's so much bigger than the box. Anyway, it looks like it's about time for me to get on my radio show usually. Just kidding, it's almost 3, so it's 2:45. So anyway, I'm going to leave it at that. Thank you so much, everyone, for listening to the program. Take care. May the truth be with you until we meet again. Goodbye.
of the prophets, the first oath and covenant of the priesthood. All those who enter into the school of the prophets or the Relief Society shall have taken the oath and covenant of the priesthood upon them, which oath is done by raising both hands to the square and saying, O Father, unto thee I pledge my oath. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. I will do all in my power to bring thy kingdom upon the earth. I covenant with thee that I will take thee as my law, and I will obey thy revelations unto me, whether they be revelations given to me or to another, but which are confirmed to me. It is the same. I know that ye cannot fail, and that I must obey the law upon which any blessing is predicated to get the good of that blessing. Even so, amen. Brothers and sisters, welcome to the school of the sons and daughters of the gods, even the school of magi and of prophets and of seers, and of priests and priestesses, kings and queens. I am the teacher that hath been appointed for this school, and I am standing in my place at the head of the circle, for there shall be established a circle with a triangle in the middle. The teacher and priest at the head of the circle is Elijah. The king upon the right side is called Messiah, and the magi upon the left is called Elias. You have come unto the house of the Lord to receive your second endowment. In the school of the prophets and in the Relief Society, the mysteries of God shall be revealed unto you in the bonds of brotherhood, sisterhood, charity, and love. All the rooms which ye shall meet in for the school of the prophets from this day forth shall be dedicated as a temple unto the living God, which is his house, even a house of prayer, a house of fasting, a house of faith, a house of learning, a house of glory, a house of order, a house of God. Wherefore, if ye will obey the order of this house, ye will speak in turn. The love and charity that ye have one for another grow as ye perform these binding ordinances, for the order of the ordinances in this house alone will expand the love ye have for one another. Dedicatory Prayer. The dedicatory prayer is a prayer of dedication by the inspiration of the Spirit, dedicating it as a school and temple of God. Inviting God into the house or dedicated room. All shall take a white handkerchief and waving them say, Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna to God and the Lamb. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna to God and the Lamb. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna to God and the Lamb. Amen, amen, and amen. Now all those who wish to accept the obligations and blessings of the endowment, please raise your hands. Very well. Washing of feet. The holy priesthood holder washing the feet shall invite the patron to sit down and place a basin of water in front of him to put his feet in. The holy priesthood holder will then take off his garments and set them nearby, and gird himself with a long towel like a temple robe over one shoulder. He will then kneel down and begin the washing of the feet, saying, Brother, by the authority of the priesthood, after the order of the Son of God, I wash your feet preparatory to receiving your second anointing in the house of the Lord, that you may rule and reign in the house of Israel, or Adam, forever. And at this time wash you clean every whit, that you are now clean from the blood and sins of this generation. I wash you clean of the blood and sins of this generation, and again I wash you clean of the blood and sins of this generation, that you may be called up and come forth in the morning of the first resurrection, and be clean without spot at the judgment bar of God, for you have done your part to warn the people of this generation, ridding your garments of their blood. Wherefore I declare by the authority of the holy priesthood that you are clean, and that your sins are forgiven if ye have repented. And I do this in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. This does not need to be the exact wording, but this is an example of the washing of feet. Salute. Now behold, mine son, after this has been done, ye shall be accepted into the school by raising both hands high in the salute, and the priest shall also raise his hands high in the salute, and the priest shall say, Art thou a brother or brethren? I salute you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, in token or remembrance of the everlasting covenant, in which covenant I receive you to fellowship in a determination that is fixed, immovable, and unchangeable, to be your friend and brother, God, in the bonds of love, to walk in all the commandments of God, blameless, in thanksgiving, forever and ever. Amen. And he that is found unworthy of this salutation shall not have place among you. For ye shall not suffer that mine house shall be polluted by him. And he that cometh in and is faithful before me, and is a brother, or if they be brethren, they shall salute the president or teacher with uplifted hands to heaven with this same prayer and covenant, or by saying, Amen, in token of the same. For behold, these words I gave to Joseph Smith, and they have not been abrogated. This shall be done in every session of the School of the Prophets and the Relief Society. Healing and Blessing. Sisters are to give each other blessings of healing and comfort by the laying on of hands in the Relief Society. Brethren are to do the same when they are moved upon to do so. Brethren and sisters may also bless and dedicate handkerchiefs to assist in the healing of the sick, as well as dedicating other objects for purposes of power in the priesthood. Objects which are for protection and not for healing should be blessed with a rod or wand. Being married to Christ. Do you have faith that Jesus is the Christ? Yes. Then confess his name and covenant to never deny him as a testimony to the world. The initiate's own words. Then, thus saith the Lord to my messenger, Verily, verily, I say unto you, my son, I give unto you a commandment, declaring unto you that they who receive you receive me, and if they receive me, they receive him that sent you, to salute them with my salutation in remembrance of my everlasting covenant. May they receive you also as you receive them, that they may be clean from the blood of this generation, and be received by the washing of the feet, for unto this end was the ordinance of washing of feet instituted, being bound together in the bonds of brotherly love, and sealed together by the covenant of life and peace, which covenant abideth forever with the celestial saints, or in other words, the married to Christ. And he that continueth not in this covenant shall not have place among you, for ye shall not suffer my house to be polluted by them, saith the Lord. Amen. Amen. All those in the school shall then either wash one another's feet, or give the holy kiss in token of the same. And they shall say to one another, Do you receive me to be your friend and brother? Are you willing to salute me in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ in token and or remembrance of the everlasting covenant, in which you receive me to fellowship, in a determination that is fixed, immutable, and unchangeable, to be your friend and brother, through the grace of God in the bonds of love, to walk in their commandments of God, blameless and thanksgiving forever and ever? Amen. Amen. Are you willing to show to the world that you are clean from the blood of this generation? Covenant with me in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and in the presence of these witnesses, that you will love your companions in life as Christ loves the church, that you will cherish each other, comfort each other, forsaking all others who are not in the holy order, so long as you live? Yes. Having authority, I seal thee, brother, unto the anointed gods, even Christ, both male and female, and seal thee unto myself as mine own son in the first household of Jesus Christ, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Amen. Now men may be sealed to their wives in the second sealing, by taking them by the hand and saying, Art thou my sister? I salute you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, in token or remembrance of the everlasting covenant, in which I covenant to receive you to fellowship in a determination which is fixed, immovable, and unchangeable, to be your friend and brother, through the grace of God in the bonds of love, to walk in all the commandments of God, blameless and thanksgiving, forever and ever. Amen. Amen. Sisters may also make the covenant and say, Amen, in token of the same. Also to the unmarried, I, the Lord, willeth that you should marry in the order, that I may have a pure people, saith the Lord. All who have covenanted to only marry within the holy order, say, Amen. Amen. This order shall not be broken by any until they themselves stand in the garden of paradise, ready to fall, lest they be destroyed. Amen. Amen. Covenant to enter into a united order. The patron receiving it will put his arm to the square and repeat after he who is administering the covenant, saying, I, brother so-and-so, do covenant and promise before God, angels, and these brethren in the united order, that I will consecrate all my mind, strength, and wealth unto this united order, and that I will hold all things in common with my brethren according to my stewardship, and I do this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Baptism into the united order. After dedicating the water and going into the water as described above, you hold on to the one being baptized, and raising your right arm to the square, you say, Brother, by the authority of the Melchizedek priesthood, which I hold, I baptize you into the order of Enoch, which is the united order before God, and I say this in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. Of the Holy Spirit, amen. You then immerse them in the water, and then undedicate the water. The meal of the prophets. The members of the school and or relief society shall sit at a table. A glass of wine and a small stack of flatbread shall be provided for each member. A blessing shall be given. O Father, which art in heaven, by the authority of the priesthood, after the order of the Son, we bless this bread to all the souls which shall partake of it, that they may do it in fellowship and brotherhood, being knit in one through the love of Christ, which is charity. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. O Father, which art in heaven, by the authority of the priesthood, after the order of the Son, they may do it in the Spirit, worshipping Thee and their Mother in spirit and in truth, being knit in one through charity, the greatest of all. For we know that if we are not one, then we are not Yours. Even so, in the name of Jesus Christ, amen. The washing of with alcohol. When only men are present, then there can be a washing with a cloth and alcohol. Brother, having authority, I wash your body clean, that it may be healthy, strong, and full of virtue and power. I wash your sins away with charity, making your garments white, even making thee clean every whit of the blood and sins of this generation. I do this in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Amen. The provisional anointing. Brother, by the authority of the priesthood, after the order of the Son, and in the name of Jesus Christ, I pour this holy consecrated oil upon thy head, and give unto you a holy anointing. Ordain thee a king and a priest of the Most High God to rule and reign in the house of Israel forever. Predicated upon this anointing being sealed, I give thee power to bind on earth and have it bound in heaven, and whomsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven, and whomsoever thou shalt curse shall be cursed, and whomsoever thou shalt bless shall be blessed. But remember that these things must be done in accordance with those things which have been done before the foundations of the world. I bless thee that ye shall come forth in the first and holy resurrection, and I even ordain you to be one of the sons. Amen. I bless thy head and mind, that you may receive revelations in carrying on the work. I bless thy eyes, that ye may see visions and the eternal worlds. I bless thy nose, that ye may smell the sweet smells of the eternal worlds. I bless thy mouth, that ye may speak truth. I give thee this holy anointing in the name of Elohim, and in the name of Jehovah, and in the name of the Godhead of this earth, even Michael, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Ghost, who presides over the spirits of just men and women made perfect. Amen. Patriarchal blessing. Brother, by the authority of the patriarchal priesthood, and the priesthood after the order of the Son, I lay my hands upon your head and give you in the school of the prophets. Then you shall give the blessing by the Spirit, and do it in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. The Council of the Prophets. The keys of the holy kiss shall be given. The first or Aaronic sign of the holy kiss is made by embracing and kissing the right cheek, and then the left, and then the right again, and saying, Peace be upon you. The second or Melchizedek sign of the holy kiss is made by embracing and kissing the right cheek, and then the left cheek, and then the forehead, and saying, Peace be upon you. The third or patriarchal sign of the holy kiss is to kiss upon the lips, and saying, God be with you. The first holy kiss is for brethren and sisters in the priesthood and siblings. The second holy kiss is for parent and child and the priesthood or familial bonds. The third holy kiss is for eternal mates or fellow eternal members of the holy order of the opposite gender that you love or are attracted to and feel close enough to, sufficient to merit this. The motion of this kiss, holy kiss, is not reciprocated. We continue with the first in all charity and love. Let all receive it. Let all who are present give the appropriate holy kiss to those sitting upon their right hand and upon their left, and saying unto them, Peace be upon you, or God be with you, or Shalom, in token of the same. That will do. Now the members of the school, or the relief society, shall return to the circle, and a rod presented. Brethren and sisters, this rod is the rod of the Word of God, and whoever shall hold the rod hath the right to speak, and all others must be silent until the possessor of the rod hath finished speaking. If you desire to speak, you should put your right foot forward until he who possesses the rod shall give thee the rod. Now if he shall continue to speak long enough after that it seemeth he is ignoring a brother or a sister or a mother or a father or a son or a daughter in the Lord, then all shall put their feet out also. He shall then repent himself of speaking and give the rod away. The rod is the word of and law of God, and that which is confirmed by the members, having felt the Spirit, shall be considered scripture. Members shall confirm a saying by raising both hands above their head and repeating it, and then saying Amen, after it hath been proposed for a vote. Behold, brethren, now that we are one, let the mysteries be opened up unto us.